We started at our house what I hope is an ongoing tradition. We had Thanksgiving steak. All right. We have several passages we're going to be going to this morning. I hope and pray that you're able to take notes. By God's grace, let's be fed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now Lord, I pray that you would work. Lord, in this day and age, we rejoice in what we have, but we see what the world is sacrificing, what the world is ignoring. There's a possibility for us to do the same. Lord, we celebrated Thanksgiving, but the world doesn't recognize giving thanks to you. Their thanks goes just off into space. It goes just anywhere but to the throne of grace. Lord, we can sometimes do the same thing. So help us to understand what our thanks, where our thanks comes from, what it means. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Many of you heard this last week that a teen idol from when we were growing up died. At age 67, David Cassidy died. You know what's really sad? According to his daughter, the last words of David Cassidy to his daughter were this: so much wasted time. Think about it. So much wasted time. That guy had money. He had, and he had people that were going after him. So much wasted time. How many of you, that kind of a phrase coming from somebody like that kind of gives you pause? So much wasted time. You know, I would hate it. I would despise it if because of my mindset or how I lived my life, the last thing I said to Heather or to my son, Michael, or to Julie, the last thing I said is basically, I wasted my life. I wasted my life. You know, when we get into God's Word, we recognize some things that make it worth living. We've got so much to live for. We have so much awaiting us in glory. Right now is the time when we serve the Lord. Remember what John Hutchison said during our missions conference? Life is about ministry. Life is about ministry. We have a command in God's Word to prepare for coming days. We have a command from God's Word to prepare. We are to not look ahead as far as cringing and thinking, Lord, what are you going to do? The Lord knows what He's going to do. But like we were talking about in Sunday school, there's some growth that needs to take place. And that's what I'm hoping and praying that we do this morning. The theme of the message this morning is simply this: the life of truly giving thanks is a life that has matured in and by faith in God. Let me repeat that. The life of truly giving thanks is a life that has matured in and by faith. And by faith in God. Real quick, if you would, I want you to go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, as we build on going to our main passage this morning, is a very familiar passage. We happen to read this. Amazing. We happened to read this last week the same thing, Psalm 136. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I want you to notice that there, in the joy in our journey, He says there's a heartfelt gratitude that needs to come from us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Quite honestly, our prayers sometimes are filled with a little bit of thanks, but then a whole lot with requests. God has done so much for us. How many of you agree that He has? So for that reason, you know, we can stop. We ought to stop and give thanks. Why? For He is good. There's a heartfelt gratitude because of He's good, and for His grace, He is good. Remember, we have repeated this before, that the view of man to many of the gods that He created in millennia gone by, the gods were angry, they were peevish, they were selfish, they were self-centered. They demanded things of people. That's not our God. Our God is a good God. He's a loving God. Like again, we spoke about in Sunday school this morning, that there is more that is said about God regarding His love than any of His other attributes. We saw that in a big way a week ago this last Wednesday night. For His grace, not only for His goodness, there's a heartfelt gratitude for His grace. For His mercy endureth forever. That word mercy there translates loving kindness. We have a God that loves us, and because He's always the same, His love and His mercy will ever show itself to us. It's not our experiences that we look to. It's the promises of God. Now, if you would please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now look what Paul says regarding our growth in this journey of faith, this journey of thankfulness. Look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. By faith, we realize that. By faith, we joy in that. But as we're going to see this morning, we don't go from faith to finish. We go from faith to faith. Now, there are some people that may be in some challenges right now. Praise God, yesterday when I had the teenagers out, we did two things that I'd really like to do. Number one, went to the 5-Eleven store. They got some good stuff there. It's high priced, but it's good. Then secondly, because it was the nearest one, we went by the truck store and we looked at Fords. I'd rather look at a Dodge, my heart, I bleed Mopar, but a Ford is good enough. You know what I mean? But there were, you know, we're there. There was three of the young men, and we got to talking to a salesman. While they kind of wandered off, I got to talking to the salesman, and it was amazing what God did. Because 2 days before, this gentleman said something to himself, I'm not going to repeat to you. But I mean, basically, he had come to the end of his rope when it came to life. He was miserable. And he had repeated it to himself that morning. And I started sharing with him the gospel, and he was right there. And in 15 minutes, he professed Jesus Christ as his Savior. Trying to get him to RU. By God's grace, pray for him. You don't need to know his name, but Jesus does. Amen? But the point, you know, the point is this. We've got our challenges. But we as Christians, we stop and we recognize this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is what? Good. For His mercy endureth forever. Now, again, in our growth, we need to recognize this, that we go from faith to faith. You are not in your faith right now what the Lord would desire for you to be a year from now, even a month from now. We are to grow. Listen, God is revealing Himself to His children. There are some things we're going to need to know about God later on that we don't know now. We might know them up here, but I mean have it big time come into our hearts. You're in the book of Romans. Would you please go to Romans 15? Romans 15. So we've seen the joy in the journey. Rejoice in the Lord. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. There's the growth in the journey. We go from faith to what? Faith to? Not faith to finish. We go from faith to faith. Now, look at Romans 15. Look at verse 4. This is our resource in the journey. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, Paul speaking of the Old Testament, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? You ever been without hope? You know, seriously, and I've used this illustration just recently, but you know, you go to Disneyland, and you go into that room in the haunted house, which is really a big elevator, and it takes you down, and the voice starts telling about how, you know, there's no doors and there's no windows. I don't like that because I'm slightly claustrophobic. I used to be really bad at it. You put me in a closed room where the lights go out, and watch out. Watch out. How many of you are claustrophobic? Let's turn the lights out and paper up all the windows. No. We, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, not our feelings, patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope. In other words, again, hope in the Bible is not a thing where we go, hope, 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 but it's something that is solid. I know whom I have believed. That's what he's saying there. There's a very important reason why we come to this. It has everything to do, again, you know this, I stress this, and I believe it's very important. It has everything to do with our view of God. Because millions, literally millions of people this last week show that they've got no good view of God. They don't have it, and they need hope. I don't want to, maybe going off over the internet, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was here for Sunday school, husband and wife, that are dear friends of mine. He's in a lot of pain. It's hurting. And I feel so bad for him. He's from Faith Baptist too, brother. From a long time ago. And just what he's been going through has been so hard. Of what he picked up when he was in Vietnam, and then just other things just that have to do with his body structure. And the doctors have been trying to help him, and I'm telling you, it's hard. There are times when you're thinking about that word hope through tears. It could be a family situation, it can be a flesh situation, you know, pain, disease, whatever it might be. It can be anything, and we are looking for that hope. Hey, listen, it's here. But we go from faith to faith. Listen, don't lose hope when the Lord takes you on that journey from faith to faith. You don't need to turn to it, but I'd write this down if I was you. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 31 through 33. Listen to this. Lamentations 3, 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. His loving kindness. Verse 33, for He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. You know, there are some things that God allows to happen. But He is not so vengeful against mankind, including and especially His children, that He winds up putting us through something going, that's what He deserves. Folks, you and I deserve hell. If you don't believe that, You need to look into the Bible and you need to recognize what sin did to God and how it separated us from Him. Hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels, the Scripture tells us. But that's where we wind up going if we reject God, if we reject Jesus Christ. But He said this, listen, I don't do this willingly. I will not afflict forever. So that's the resource in the journey. These things, the Word of God, the living Word of God. So, once again, thank God, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. We go from faith to faith. And then there's the resource in going from faith to faith, the promises of God. Now, with all that in mind, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Because we're going to be taught by an unnamed widow woman this morning. 1 Kings 17. You read her situation and you might think, oh my soul, I wouldn't want to go through that. But hey, she had a man of God with her, and in fact, he wound up taking a journey too. His name was Elijah. Elijah has just announced, there's no rain until I say so. According to the word of my God, that's it. That's it. Now watch this, if you would please. We're going to read basically most of this chapter, but I want you to listen carefully. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You know, there's something that we need to learn here. She's about ready to go into a faith moment. By the way, I believe that this lady was a godly lady. That somehow, even though she was not a child of Israel, that she knew the God of Israel. By the things that you read in this chapter, you catch this. I also want you to catch this. Every faith moment starts out as a fear moment. Every faith moment starts out as a fear moment. God is going to challenge you. He's going to put you in a situation for you to trust Him. And your immediate, the way you go at first, your immediate, what's the word I'm trying to say? Response. Oh, well, wait a minute. And God says, hey, my promises. Trust me. That's exactly what's going to happen to this lady. Look again, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You know, it's kind of interesting. Here we read, the Lord says, go to this woman. But Jesus tells us in Luke 4, 25 and 26, that Elijah was sent to her. In other words, in 1 Kings, we read like, okay, there's a lady that I want is going to take care of you. But in Luke, it's like, there is something I have for you to do. You're going to go. Again, it seems that this lady, she knew God. She knew Him. In her response, you have to admit that in taking that and making food for Him first, it was a step of faith. This was no small situation. It's on the pages of our Bible. We're reading it. We know the end of the story. She did not. This was a big thing for her. I mean, when it comes to a parent and you as an individual, if you're challenged and it threatens you, it's one thing. But when you have a situation where it looks like your child is going to die, that's a lot different. You have to admit that. That's exactly what this lady was looking at. And yet, hearing Elijah, she trusted him enough and taking the knowledge that she had about the God of Israel, she says, okay, I'll do it. Look, there are some things that we can go through in church. We're going to go next door afterwards and we're going to have a meal and we'll just see how much food is there. Again, we'll send Roger. He'll go to wherever. In-N-Out Burger. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe if we have to add to it, I don't know how much food is there. But the point is this. We'll go in, we'll have fellowship, we'll eat the food, and it'll be good. But when you go through a faith moment, it's personal. You lay there in bed, and maybe in tears, you start praying to God, don't you? Maybe you get yourself off alone. A faith moment is a personal time. It is very personal. Because it's you and God, and however you received the knowledge of what is taking place and the knowledge of how God will take care of you, you got it, and it's in your heart. It's going through in your very being. Salvation is a faith moment. I hope and pray that that young man, Lord willing, I'm going to be seeing him this afternoon. I hope and pray that that young man, when he prayed, and we talked that faith actually went to work and he trusted Christ. We'll see. I'm going to be taking him some material. Every faith moment, again, is also a fear moment. When you were saved, you heard about a place called hell, didn't you? How many of you think it's no big deal to go to hell? You know what's really sad? We have heard again of somebody that was well known, David Cassidy, and unless he knew the Lord as Savior, he has lost everything. And there's person after person after person that's very famous. They're finding that out. I hope and pray that we take that seriously as well. Remember, when it comes to these kind of situations in our lives, it's not what's present. It's what prevails. The fear will come. But by God's grace, so will the faith because of the promises of God. Keep that in mind. So the woman has been tested. Would you agree? For her it was personal. For her it was severe. Praise God, she and her son have lived. Amen? Amen? Y'all need to eat already. How many of you are already hungry? Okay, listen. Think of how far Roger Whiteside preaches, and I'm not going to go as long. And all God's people said? Amen. Roger, I'm picking on you. I can't do that, brother. You're the one that signs my check, so I got to treat you real nice. Folks, seriously. She's already been tested. Now, how many of you have already been tested in your faith? I've got news for you. You didn't go from faith to finish. Look at verse 17. Neither did she. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now listen to this. She makes an assumption about the will of God. And this is something that we often do. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" Listen to her words. "Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" I want you to stop and think of what she just said. She's already been through a situation where she trusted God, and she did. And she obeyed the prophet, and she did. And she lived, and her son lived, and the prophet lived. But this happens. And the first thing that comes to mind is, what have you come to do? Have you come to call my sin to remembrance? You know, one of the biggest things that Satan does, you listen to me. One of the biggest things that Satan does is he comes with your sin that you've committed in the past and he throws it right in your face. And one way or another, he will seek to get you discouraged, despondent, even to quit because of what you remember you've done. And it might be something that nobody else knows about. I don't know what it was with this lady, but I do know this. You don't sit here this morning and judge her. You don't do it. Our God would not want us to do this. This, again, I believe was a lady, a good lady. By the way, have you noticed this? The closer you get to God, the more you are aware of your sin. How many of you found that out to be true? I mean, because you realize, oh my soul, what have I done? We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful and careful about looking at situations like this and thinking, well, that's not that big of a deal. Or, well, it's in the Bible. Or if somebody goes through it, well, you know, maybe they went that through something like that for a reason. There is a reason, and we've already read it. We read it in the book of Romans. We're going from faith to faith. There was something that this woman learned the first time through. In fact, it might not be the first time. It might be the third or the fourth or the fifth time. But there was something that she needed to learn. But the question is this. Why her and why now? Why her and why now? We can look at somebody and we can think, well, why this person? Why this situation? Why her? Why him? Why now? Why that family? We remember seeing the floods that were taking place in our nation. We remember the fires that took place. We think of the shootings that have taken place. Why them? Why? What? You know, Lord, what was the purpose? Can I tell you something else that you're going to wind up learning? In fact, maybe you already have, but to those that have not. When you wind up in a faith situation, you're going to wind up going through a series of unknowns. There's going to be some things that you don't understand about the Trinity. There's going to be some things that you don't understand about eternity. God has given us enough of what we need to know so that when we read His Word, we recognize, for instance, in this situation, you know, God did this to her. And as I finish the chapter, and we'll get there, I recognize what it is that God was seeking to do to her. And you know what? God might be seeking to do the same thing to me. Now here's a big challenge for us. I want you to stop and consider this. Someone goes through a faith moment. They wind up going through a challenge. They wind up going through a difficult time. And then they read a scripture like this. You know what they wind up thinking? You know what? I don't want to go through this again. And in fact, I mean, I didn't enjoy it the first time. What they're really saying is they didn't learn enough that one time. And so they actually begin to back off away from God because they don't want to go through that again. In fact, they might even quit. They might even quit God because they don't want to go through the pain. If God is holding us in His hand, don't you think there's a reason why He puts us through some stuff? Don't you think there's a reason, don't you think there's something that He's seeking to teach us? It was the craziest thing. All of a sudden my eyes aren't working. You know, what's going on? And then there's situations where the words that you're trying to remember don't come to you. How many of you started doing that in your 30s? Let's continue with this lady. She's going through an unknown right now. If we're not careful, we can mistake the intent of God. That's why I had us read the passage there in Lamentations. God is not a peevish God. God is not the kind of God that does something just so we can suffer. There's reason why He puts us through what He puts us through. We might look at somebody else and go, well, you know what, maybe it's this thing. Let me read a passage to you. For those of you that would like to go to it, you're welcome to. It's John chapter 9. But we Christians even wind up doing this. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Jews had this idea that if somebody was born like this, well, the parents must have sinned. Something must have happened, and now God's judging them. Or maybe this man, he sinned, because they didn't know how long he'd been blind. Maybe he sinned, and God was out to get him. Listen to what the Lord says. Verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then Jesus said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know something? Right now, how many of you would agree that what this world needs is to see the glory of God? Amen? I mean, listen, what they need to see God at work. They need to see God change lives. But you know what? In order for that to happen, in order for Him to glorify Himself, that means that there very well could be a situation where He makes His children to suffer so that His children trust Him, so that the world can see it and they glorify God. While we're here on earth, our Heavenly Father, for our good and His glory, will make us go through things, will guide us through, not because He's angry, well, you must have sinned. By the way, seriously, you know, Christians do that to each other right now. I mean, remember what Job went through? I mean, to the point, his wife said what? Curse God and what? Her faith absolutely went downhill completely. Because she had this view. God has done this to you. I mean, something's gone wrong. It's gotten to the point. I'm sure she loved her husband. But it's gotten to the point where she says, look, you might as well just give up. But then she says, curse God. Blame it on Him. And die. That's not what we do. So be it cancer, be it a death in the family, be it a difficult situation, God might have already taken us through something. And we found that God's provision was there and it was sufficient. And God's provision is always sufficient, isn't it? But then another situation comes and you're thinking, well, we read the scripture. Lord, didn't this lady learn? I mean, you're making a poor widow woman go through this. By the way, it's not just pastors and missionaries that suffer. We don't know the name of this lady. She's simply the widow woman. There's something far more. But can I warn you again? If you think that God might be taking you through something like this, don't quit on God because you're telling Him, look, I just don't want that. I don't want to go through anything like that and walk away from God. God wants to use you. He wants to use me for His glory. Don't walk away. Absolutely, do not walk away. We might be chosen for a faith moment for somebody else's their encouragement. Look at verse 19, if you would, please. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Can I give you a hint? Pastors don't have all the answers. In fact, we probably have fewer answers than we'd like to admit. God's the one with the answers. Amen? Here's this widow woman. She comes, her son has died, she comes to Elijah with her child. Have you come to do this? You and God are against me. You've reminded me of my past sin. Have you done this to slay my son? What did he say? He said, give me your son. And he went in. And you know what he starts saying? The same thing that she was saying. You know, this is what we can do. When there's a challenge, we can go to the Lord together. And we can ask God, Lord, we don't know what you're doing, but please, would you answer this? That was Elijah. The same man that had this faith to the point that he could say, listen, unless I give my word because God has told me, there's going to be no rain. That same one didn't have an answer for this woman. But that's okay, because they both had something to learn. Look, if you would please. Verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. You know what he's doing? He's hearkening back to the mercies of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His what? His mercies endureth forever. Look at verse 22. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now listen carefully. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. She wasn't glorifying Elijah. The man of God brought the word of God. You understand? The focus is the word. Watch. And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Look at what she said. What was the first word that she said after receiving her son? Now. She's had another faith moment. Now the faith has grown exponentially even more. Now I know. We go through a difficulty, a testing, something we would not have wanted. But then coming through the other side, we realize we have learned something more about God. And because of that, our faith has strengthened. Our rest in Him is now deeper. Now. You know, you stop and think, who are the people that come to mind when we wind up celebrating Thanksgiving? Who are the people that come to mind? Pilgrims. We read about them and we read about their Thanksgiving. I think of everything that has been built on that. I tell you, I want to give a copy of Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation to the Freedom from Religion Foundation, to the people that are big time into the separation of church and state. And this man was there when the Constitution was written and ratified and voted on. But we think of the Pilgrims. Do you know that after they went through that winter, at one time they were in such bad shape, there were only 5 men that were able to do the work. They lost half of their group over that time due to illness. They died. Understand this. The Pilgrims did not quit. They did not curse God and die. They thanked Him. Are we starting to draw this thing together now? Watch this. Here's this woman that has gone through all this. Here's this woman that is so hurt. Here's the Pilgrims that have so suffered. And what winds up happening? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. The life of truly giving thanks. The life of truly giving thanks is a life that has matured in and by faith in God. Giving thanks is not flippant. Giving thanks is because we recognize God for who He is. And the fact that to one degree or another, with us all, He has brought us through, and like Lamentations, Jeremiah told us in Lamentations, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. So, Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from, watch it, from faith to faith. Why? Because the just, according to the Scripture, as he quotes, because the just shall live by faith. How many of you have trusted Christ as your Savior? Say amen. You recognize that's who he's talking about. And what we do, we go, as Paul said, to the Romans, the Christians in Rome, we go through from faith to faith. Just like the widow woman did. Why? Because the just live by faith. They don't go from faith to finish as long as they're here. They go from faith to faith. Romans 15:4. We learn it, and we learn it again and again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. It's not just the widow woman. It's what Ruth went through. It's what Job went through. It's what Jacob went through. It's what Hezekiah went through. It's what David went through. It's what all of those went through. And you find them in Hebrews 11 and beyond. And it's the New Testament saints. And it's every saint that has lived since then that has lived by faith to faith to faith. What are we going to do, folks? What are we going to do when the state of California says, you know what, I know what the Constitution says, but this is what you need to do. You don't think these things are going to continue to happen? They're going to continue to happen. What's our attitude going to be? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Listen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in the time ahead. But I do know this. The Lord is going to bring us if we will follow Him. The Lord's going to bring us from faith to faith. Are you going to quit on Him? Then praise God. We go from faith to faith, and you know something? Then comes that time. We go from faith to finish because we're standing before Him. But the life of thanks, the true life of giving thanks, is the one that goes from faith to faith. Just like an unnamed widow woman that said, "Now I know. Now I know." Let's pray.